This is VOA News. I'm Lori London. Zimbabwe's Electoral Commission says President Emmerson Mnangagwa has won Monday's election in the first vote after the fall of longtime leader Robert Mugabe. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Harare.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa has narrowly won Zimbabwe's presidential election, getting just 50.8% of the vote, officials said Friday. After a historic poll, the first in decades without longtime leader Robert Mugabe on the ballot. The announcement came after four tense days that saw violent opposition protests in the capital that left six people dead. Both of the main presidential rivals claimed victory shortly after Monday's vote, and defeated opposition candidate Nelson Chamisa says he will challenge the result, which his party says is fake. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
Top U.S. national security leaders made a rare joint briefing Thursday to express concern about efforts by Russia to meddle in upcoming elections in the U.S. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats said President Trump has directed his team to make election integrity its top priority.
We have incorporated the lessons learned from the 2016 election and implemented a broad spectrum of actions to share more information across the federal government, as well as with state and local governments, and also with the public and the private sector.
The briefing comes just days after Facebook announced that it had deactivated several accounts possibly linked to Russian hackers that tried to put out false information ahead of November's midterm elections. Protesters with a white supremacy rally at the White House say they're shocked that Facebook disabled their event page. Facebook says the page was created by bad actors with possible links to the Russian government. But the protesters say the work of many legitimate people doing good work has now been tarnished. This is VOA News. States are lining up to challenge the Trump administration's proposed rollback of higher auto mileage standards, AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey says the proposed rollback would upend agreements that were carefully worked out among states, the auto industry, and the Environmental Protection Agency.
This has to be absolutely one of the most harmful and dumbest actions that the EPA has taken.
Massachusetts is one of 16 states that have joined California in preemptively suing over the proposed rollback. The administration has filed notice that it will also seek to rescind California's authority to set its own pollution and mileage standards. I'm Warren Levinson.
Well, states are lining up to challenge the proposed rollback, as we said, on mileage standards. Wednesday, the Trump administration announced sanctions against two Turkish officials in connection with American pastor Andrew Brunson's detention. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
At the president's direction, the Department of Treasury is sanctioning Turkey's Minister of Justice and Minister of Interior, both of whom played leading roles in the arrest and detention of Pastor Brunson.
The sanctions affect any property or interest in property of both ministers within U.S. jurisdiction. Pastor Brunson was arrested following a failed 2016 coup that sought to overthrow Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's government. Turkish authorities accused the American pastor of helping the coup leaders. The sanctions are likely to put a new strain on U.S.-Turkey relations, which have soured in recent years. Pope Francis has changed church teaching about the death penalty, saying it can never be sanctioned because it attacks the inherent dignity of all humans. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The Vatican says Francis has now approved a change to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the compilation of official Catholic Church teaching. Previously, the Catechism said the Church didn't exclude recourse to capital punishment if this is the only way of effectively defending human lives against an unjust aggressor. The new teaching says the previous policy is now outdated and that there are other ways to protect society. The key line runs, the death penalty is now inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. It says Vatican policy, therefore, will be to now work with determination for its abolition worldwide. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Apple made history Thursday when it became the first publicly listed U.S. company to be valued at $1 trillion. The tech giant's share price climbed well over 2% in mid-session trading, boosting it about 9% higher since Tuesday, when it announced better-than-expected second-quarter earnings and a buyback of $20 billion worth of its shares. I'm Lori London, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, August 3rd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Zimbabwe's incumbent president wins a narrow victory in Monday's elections.
Mnangagwa Emmerson Dambudzo of ZANU-PF party is therefore duly declared elected president of the Republic of Zimbabwe with effect from the 3rd of August 2018.
Priscilla Chigumba is chairperson of Zimbabwe's Electoral Commission. A Zimbabwe analyst will give us his take on the results. The U.S. urges South Sudan's government to immediately release a South Sudan activist. And the DRC government denied permission for exiled opposition leader Moise Katumbi to return home today, Friday.
We ask today to seek an evaluation if they have received any application from a company bringing back Mr. Katumbi. They said no. So it's just public with the press to make some propaganda for him.
Lambert Mende is Democratic Republic of Congo's information minister, and COMESA countries agreed to use ICT to promote trade and business among themselves. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has narrowly won Zimbabwe's presidential election, getting just 50.8% of the vote. Officials said on Friday, 4 days after the historic poll, the first in decades without longtime President Robert Mugabe on the ballot. The announcement came after four tense days that saw violent opposition protests in the capital, Harare, resulting in the death of six people. Both the main presidential rivals claimed victory shortly after Monday's vote, and defeated opposition candidate Nelson Chamisa says he will challenge the result, which his party says is fake. Viewers Anita Powell reports from...
Finally, the result Zimbabwe has been waiting for, not just for the 4 days since his pivotal poll, but for decades under the rule of the increasingly authoritarian leader Robert Mugabe. Zimbabwe Electoral Commission Chairwoman Priscilla Chigumba announced the win just before 1 a.m. local time.
Mnangagwa Emmerson Dambudzo, ZANU-PF, 2,460,463 votes, 50.8%. But the votes received by Mnangagwa Emmerson Dambudzo of ZANU-PF party are more than half the number of votes cast in the presidential election. Therefore, Mnangagwa Emmerson Dambudzo of ZANU-PF party is therefore duly declared elected president of the Republic of Zimbabwe with effect from the 3rd of August 2018.
Mnangagwa, the ruling party candidate who took power in November after the military-led push for Mugabe's resignation, now faces the challenge of ruling by a razor-thin mandate while trying to fix an ailing economy wounded by years of mismanagement, fractured international relations, and a distrustful population that has been clamoring for change. Both sides had claimed victory shortly after Election Day, and as the results were announced, a man who identified himself as a spokesman for Chamisa's Movement for Democratic Change took the stage and made his own announcement. The man, identified by journalists as MDC spokesman Morgan Kamichi, was ushered out by security.
The results that have been announced have not been verified by us. I did not sign those results, so the results are fake. The results have been just been printed and they've not been verified by the polling agents.
Earlier in the evening, Chamisa told journalists he was convinced he had won. He also accused Mnangagwa's side of manipulating the poll and said he was not interested in a unity government.
You can't rig an election or manipulate the election, and you want to then use that as a basis of engagement. That's deception and deceitful.
Chamisa handily won in the capital, Harare, by a large margin and with more than 500,000 votes. His popularity here was evident in the months leading up to the poll. His Harare rallies were exuberant and well attended. And on Wednesday, hundreds of his supporters thronged the election commission, demanding the release of results. Protesters threw rocks as police fired back with tear gas and water cannon. Later, army vehicles rolled through the streets and soldiers were seen beating and shooting at pedestrians. Police said 6 people were killed and 14 wounded. The streets of central Harare, usually a hive of activity and a snarl of traffic, were eerily quiet Thursday as soldiers and police manned the streets and told shopkeepers to close early and go home. Police also surrounded opposition headquarters in central Harare, ratcheting up the tension even more. Chamisa said he planned to challenge the outcome, but in the courts, not in the streets.
We do a lot of things within the confines of legality and the constitution. Instruments of peace shall be invoked to make sure that we defend and protect our vote.
For the first time in nearly four decades, Zimbabwe has elected a president who is not Robert Mugabe. But will this change bring hope or despair? Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
Zimbabwe Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, MDC Alliance, is vowing to challenge in court the country's presidential election results announced early Friday morning. On the ground, the vote was fraudulent. Incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa was declared winner with 50.8% of the vote, while MDC Nelson Chamisa came second with 44.3% of the vote. Zimbabwean political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya says Chamisa performed well in the presidential race, but Ngwenya says whatever method both sides may choose to express their emotions, he hopes it doesn't lead to further violence.
It is shocking because if you look at the parliamentary election, Emmerson Mnangagwa was leading by far. This is why they've been able to declare a two-thirds majority. But the presidential spread, the margins are very, very close, probably just under 200,000 thereabouts. So which really shows that Nelson Chamisa was performing very strongly as an individual.
Rejoice, what is Nelson Chamisa saying and the MDC Alliance? What are they saying now?
Their argument, James, is that the returns that are coming from the provinces do not reflect the true picture of the numbers that were submitted at national level. They probably have information that we don't have, but like I've always insisted that if you look at the compilation at ward level that has been signed for by each agent, it would really mean that if Nelson Chamisa has to approach the court, he has to prove that the Z11 forms that were signed at ward level do not tally with those figures that were presented at national level, which would make sense because I'll give you a simple example, James, that Chirezi, with a plus or minus 30,000 registered voters, was showing an aggregate figure of 35,000 people that voted. So if that anomaly is compounded across a number of constituencies, then the political mathematics I've been telling you about might be a justification for litigation.
Rejoice, Mashonaland province was the last that the Elections Commission counted. We understand that is the stronghold of former President Robert Mugabe. So can you say that Nelson Chamisa did well in this ZANU-PF stronghold?
I believe strongly it is the Mugabe phenomenon, the Mugabe factor, because there's absolutely no way with its strong entrenched tradition around ZANU-PF would have given Chamisa a vote of confidence if Mugabe had not come out of his shell and give him a vote of appreciation.
Rejoice, as day breaks this Friday morning in Zimbabwe, what are the people expecting in the country?
Well, I mean, I would want to shy away from my own expectations and assume that, for those millions of people that voted Chamisa, the young people that had faith in his vote, there will be a lot of sadness and trepidation. And the atmosphere in the city, James, is going to be subdued and, if not outright, irritated. And of course, the public media, the state-controlled media, will be screaming headlines: Mnangagwa destroys MDC, or the celebratory atmosphere will be very strong. The only thing that I wish, James, is that there be no any other act of of violence.
Rejoice Ngwenya is a Zimbabwean political analyst. You're speaking with me from the capital, Harare. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Button, Washington. Today is Friday, August 3rd, and please send your comments and opinions to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. The Democratic Republic of Congo's government says it did not deny permission for exiled opposition leader Moise Katumbi to return home. Katumbi had been living in self-imposed exile since May 2016, after falling off with President Joseph Kabila. He was expected to return to DRC today, Friday, but a news report said the mayor of Lubumbashi, once Katumbe's stronghold, had denied Katumbe permission to land, citing airspace and landing non-authorization. But DRC Information Minister Lambert Mende says the government has no record that Katumbe requested landing rights. He says Katumbe is seeking publicity. Meanwhile, DRC President Joseph Kabila began a two-day working visit to Angola on Thursday. Mende says Mr. Kabila is discussing bilateral cooperation with his Angolan counterpart, João Lourenço.
The purpose was an invitation from President Lourenço, who invited the president and the certain members of the government and some business to discuss bilateral issues, security in the border, and reached some agreements about these issues.
Did President Lourenço and President Kabila discuss the upcoming elections in your country?
It was not a meeting of subject, but a bilateral one between Congo and Angola, since it was not a subject meeting. And he invited President Kabila to visit the mineral port of Lobito before October and to remove the visa for holders of diplomatic and service passport between the two countries. But it was not at all a question of electoral process in Congo. That is a domestic issue.
Talking about domestic issues, Mr. Minister, Jean-Pierre Bemba just returned home this week. In fact, we are told that he has asked for papers to contest the upcoming elections. Will he be able to participate?
That is, what can I say? The demonstration that the process is going its way. Mr. Bemba came yesterday, felt as a candidate, and he did it freely. So we are waiting now elections to come, the process. It will go to the electoral process, the commission, to decide if he abide by the law to run and like any other candidate, what will happen. So things are going business as usual.
Mr. Katumbe also wants to return home, but we are told that your government might not allow him to come home.
They lie, James, because he's never of a plane that is supposed to bring him back home. So how can we refuse applications that have never been? We asked today to civil aviation if they have received any application from a company bringing back Mr. Katumbe. They said no. So it's just, public, the press, to make some propaganda for him that there is not at all any application of Mr. Katumbe to come back. So we didn't refuse authorization of a plane.
August 8th is coming up next week. That is the deadline for those interested in running to declare their candidacy. Everybody wants to know if your president, Joseph Kabila, is going to run.
Be patient. You will be aware. We are still consulting with him to our political wing. And before 5 days now, we will make it public who will be our candidate in the presidential election to come. But I don't know who, because we are still consulting within our political family.
So you're leaving the door open. He could run or he may not run.
This is a decision of the political family. I am not the political family. We shall decide and you will be aware.
Minister, thank you very much. So nice to talk with you always.
You're welcome.
Lambert Mende is Democratic Republic of Congo's information minister. He was speaking with me from the Angolan capital, Luanda. The United States has urged the South Sudan government to immediately release civil society activist Peter Bayer Ajak, who was arrested last week by South Sudan national security agents. Mayor David Mayer reports for VOA from Juba.
U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Thomas Osek emerged from a meeting with South Sudanese Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila to tell reporters in Juba that he made it clear to Wanawila the U.S. is deeply concerned about the arrest and detention of Peter Bayer Ajak.
We are asking for his release and for more information about really what the case has been about. And this is something that has gotten a lot of attention from the international community and the United States in particular.
Bayer, a PhD student at Cambridge University in London, was arrested at Juba International Airport on Saturday. For the last 5 days, the civil society activist has been held at the South Sudan National Security Service detention facility in Juba. He has not been charged with a crime. Wanawila says his ministry has no information about Biar's arrest.
We are still awaiting, of course, information from the arresting authority. Might be my people might have taken note of it, but we don't have the information still. But obviously NRS have a reason behind it. And until we find out what is the reason, we will not be able to talk about a case which we have not yet taken note of.
Peter Biar is the founder and leader of the South Sudan Young Leaders Forum, a group which mobilizes youth in the country to move South Sudan out of conflict and onto a path of peace and development. Local activists speaking on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisal say they think Biar was arrested because of recent remarks he made to regional and international media in which he criticized the Kiir administration. Biar told a Nairobi-based television station, NTV, days before his arrest that South Sudan needs a generational exit of current leaders so that youth can take over the country in order to achieve total peace and development. He also told China Global Television Network, CGTN, recently that sanctions alone are not enough to prompt change in South Sudan. He called sanctions lazy tools for dealing with South Sudan's political leaders. Biar says when Riek Machar was placed under house arrest in South Africa, it worked well because he couldn't move. He says the same sort of thing could be used against President Salva Kiir and his close advisors. In a statement issued yesterday, the South Sudan Young Leaders Forum demanded Biar's unconditional and immediate release and to assure his safety and freedom of speech. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
Members of the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, also known as COMESA Economic Bloc, have agreed to use ICT to promote trade and business among themselves. Amelia Kiyambade, Uganda's Minister for Trade and Commerce, says embracing digitalization will help merchants of the 21 member countries to save money and time. Mugumi Davis Brakarinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Minister Kiyambade told journalists in Kampala this week that COMESA members agreed to make electronic payments and orders online. She says this will necessitate easy communication and merchants across the region will not incur unnecessary travel expenses while doing business among themselves.
We have agreed that every country should build a trade portal. A trade portal whereby you have information on all the commodities, whereby you go online and see, oh, if someone wants coffee, they will know, oh, the coffee is here. How many companies are selling coffee in Uganda? There's Chagalanyi, there's this. So we are building that portal so that anybody who accesses that information on the internet will know where to get what and what quantity.
The COMESA Free Trade Area stretches from Tunisia to Swaziland and was formed in December 1994, replacing a preferential trade area, or PTA, which existed since 1981. With a population of over 500 million people, COMESA is worth over $700 billion of GDP, comprising of 21 member countries after Tunisia and Somalia were recently added. Merchants across COMESA block trade in products like foods, dairy products, as well as services. For example, Kiyambade says COMESA region accounts for 47% of Uganda's total exports with a value of $1.2 billion, while imports account for $600 million.
We are exporting tea within the region. We are exporting coffee, sugar, vegetables, palm oil, milk, and iron products. But not only those exports, but they are also services, not only commodities. You find Ugandan teachers in Zimbabwe, nurses, mechanics. So we are also exporting services to the region. Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, all these countries.
Uganda equally imports commodities such as petroleum products, cement and salt. But Kiyambade says for trade to easily flourish, member countries must improve on infrastructure.
Some countries are advanced in infrastructure development, others are not. If I want to do business with Chad, what means do I take? Means of transport. How do I ferry my goods? That means I have to go around, or I have to take a flight, which is very expensive. So that one is a challenge.
She says member countries also agreed to establish a continental bank that will provide credit facilities for merchants within the region. African countries are also working on harmonizing tariffs and standards across the region. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Minutes past the hour. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you, James. We begin with the appointment of former international Jamil Belmadi as the new national coach for Algeria. The former Manchester City midfielder will travel to Algeria to sign a contract replacing Rabah Majer, who resigned in June. Jamil Belmadi played for Algeria between 2000 and 2004, including a quarterfinal place at the 2004 African Nations Cup finals. Elsewhere in Egypt, the Egyptian Football Association announced on Thursday the appointment of Mexican Javier Aguirre as the head coach of the national team on a four-year deal. Aguirre replaces Argentinian Hector Cooper after his contract expired following the 2018 World Cup, where Egypt lost all three of their matches to crash out in the group stage. In the meantime, former Arsenal and Barcelona forward Thierry Henry has denied holding talks with any national association or football club over becoming their next manager. The 40-year-old has been recently linked with the Egypt job after former Al Ahly and Zamalek goalkeeper Nadir Al Said claimed negotiating with his agent over the vacant Egypt national team job. In athletics news, South Africa's Commonwealth Games champion Akane Simbini won the men's 100 meters with Marie-José Taulou of Ivory Coast the women's winner at the African Championship on Thursday. Kenyan World and Commonwealth Games champion Helen Obiri also claimed African gold winning the women's 5,000 meters. Simbini won his race into a headwind in 10.25 seconds. Winners at the championship earn a place on the African team in the Continental Cup, which matches teams from Africa, Asia, Europe, Oceania, the Americas, South America, and the United States from September the 8th to the 9th in Ostrava, Czech Republic. However, transportation problems has left several hundred outlets stranded at Lagos Airport, some for nearly 3 days, forcing a major revision of the competition timetable on Wednesday, with officials apologizing on Thursday for the shortcomings. Solomon Oba is the chairman of the local organizing committee.
Learning from what has happened in the arrival, we have given all the countries a deadline to submit their departure by today, so that arrangement will be concluded in all the athletes and officials going back smoothly and connecting their flights. I do not envisage any problem in their returning, except if they don't give us their departure information.
Staying with the African Athletics Championship, Tanzanian athletes pulled out of the biannual African Athletics Championship in Nigeria on Thursday, citing poor organization and security concerns at the venue. Tanzania was expected to send 5 athletes to the championship in Asaba, but officials said they were dissatisfied with the travel arrangements to the event, as well as the threat from extremist groups in the region. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good weekend. And that's it for this Friday, August 30 edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Botti in Washington.
Border Crossings knows you want the hottest music, and we're here to give it to you.
Give me something nice and shiny.
Join host Larry London at 1500 Universal every weekday in August for your chance to win a copy of the new Now That's What I Call Music Volume 67 CD.
Music to my ears.
Featuring the biggest hits from Maroon 5.
Girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like
Selena Gomez.
No, I'd go back to you.
Malone, Cardi B, and more. This is your all-access pass to the biggest songs of the summer.
Hey, 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 special delivery.
Don't miss out on your chance to snag a free copy of Now 67, with different ways to win every weekday in August.
I'm the girl who's going to win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
Only on Border Crossings.